Let me start off by saying congratulations to the men in the room. Last year, I looked across the room with the ladies gone, and the ladies were still 50% of the congregation. Today, that's not true. We have them beat almost 2-1, almost. I don't know if that's because we're maturing as men or if that ladies' retreat is drawing more ladies. Probably the second. But anyways, so we're going to leave James behind today because it was in Dan's mind and it seemed right to me that we should continue our series with everyone who wants to participate in them. And so this week we're going to do something a little different. Now, most of you know I go to a Thursday morning study with a group of men that are associated with Edgewater that are meeting in Cave Junction in the back of Wild River. And I've had some things in my mind because of them. I really enjoy that group and I've been learning from them. But at the same time, they have different ideas than we do, a different group of guys, a different group of questions that come up. And they're trying to start a church. And so there's conversation around, what does that look like? What we get to start from scratch. How do we want to structure it? Do we want a paid pastor? Do we want, you know, do we want to just watch the Edgewater on TV? That's how they started. They left that. Do we want to sit in a circle? How do we structure it? And so we had a conversation about that one Thursday morning. And there's a gentleman there, and I won't tell you his name because this is not about bashing anybody in particular, but this gentleman has some heresies that he tends to bring to the meeting on a regular basis, and we have to put up with it a little bit. He loves God. He loves God, but he's listening to some folks online that are questionable. And so we were discussing, what is our church going to be about for them, not us here? And they were talking about the different churches in the valley, and this gentleman brought up Tequilma and said, because he knows I go here, he goes, Tequilma seems to be the most stable and good church in this valley on a consistent basis over the years. And then he looks at me and he says, but what's their purpose? And then the conversation went on, and I didn't directly answer, but I started thinking about that because I know from his perspective, the church's job is to take over all the governments of the world and create the kingdom of Jesus Christ on earth. And once we take it over, then Jesus will come and reign. That's the general idea, which I don't agree with. But not agreeing with him doesn't change the fact that he asked me a good question. What's the purpose of Tequilma Bible Church? Now, I'm not here this morning to answer that question specifically, but it got me thinking about why we meet and what should be the purpose of the gathering of believers a little bit. And I came up with some thoughts, and that's what we're here to talk about this morning. Nice. So I thought we'd start in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And this is the early, early church. They don't have a bunch of doctrines yet, but I think this is just a few months after Jesus left earth. And then he sent his Holy Spirit, and the church was growing really quickly, explosively. They're probably under 10,000 Christians on the planet. And it describes kind of right here in this verse what they were all about. And it says they were continually devoting themselves. So they were constantly doing this. This was currently their mission. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer.
Which verse?
42. Yeah, Acts 2:42. So they were habitually paying attention to the teachings of the apostles, to fellowshipping with one another, to eating together, which is fellowshipping. That's the best way to fellowship. If you meet another couple in a church or another dude or a woman, you might be like, let's drink a coffee together and talk. Why don't your family come over to my family's house and we will eat a meal together. It's the best way to fellowship. To fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer, which is communicating with God. I thought that was a great place to start off. But our main time this morning, I want to spend in Ephesians. If you want to grab the book of Ephesians and hit chapter 4. And this grabs some context. I felt about going further back and grabbing more context, but it seemed over the top. But to each one, and this is talking about the body of Christ, to each one of us, grace, God's favor, his attention and power was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Oh, sorry, 4:7. According to Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he had ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. I heard a teaching on this. I don't know if it was here. What?
I'm sorry, that's not Acts.
Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 is where we're at right now. I heard a teaching on this, comparing this to when a general or a prince, king, goes to war and he wins and he's got a bunch of captives. He'll lead them in a parade through the city, kind of showing off what he has, what he's conquered. And then out of the booty, he would give gifts to the people. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave, and this is talks about the kind of gifts he gave to the people, some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. What kind of service? To the building up of the body of Christ. If you're reading along, I ask those questions, not the Bible. What kind of it seems that when Jesus decided to bless the people with gifts, call them spiritual gifts, call them these are often referred to as the fivefold ministry, the administrative gifts for the church. But these are not the only kind of gifts he seems to have given. Their purpose is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, specifically to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So because of this, or as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And you can see how those gifts were given and the church is equipped in such a way that when lies hit the church, when things that are confusing come about, we're not uncertain, we're stable, we're secure in our faith as a body, and therefore we are no longer tossed here and there. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together but by what every joint supplies. And I love that picture because a house that's built well, that has properly fitting walls and 2x4s and 4x4s and all the things that make up a house, when they're measured correctly and they're nailed together correctly, it's a strong building. It doesn't fall down when the wind hits it. Being fitted and held together but by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body. And why grow the body? Again, that's my question. And it says, for the building up of itself in love. Now, I remember thinking that during the meeting a little bit later as I found this and I read this because it came to mind. And I thought, it seems almost self-centered. And what about the bigger mission, right? Go out into all the world making disciples and that sort of thing. That seems to be, I think most people, if you ask them, what's the church's mission? It's to spread the word of God. And that's not untrue. And I thought about this a little bit. I brought a little illustration. And go. Oh. There we go. That's the illustration I thought of that day. So, in business, there's two ways to grow your business. Ideally, you do both of them. You can spend a ton of money and you can advertise. And that gets in a bunch of people. And you can make sales. And then there's the product. And if you make a good product, people will keep coming back. And will keep buying that product. And they'll love your company for the products it creates. And the internet, which only brings us good things, is full of advertisement for products that are not very good. And they have ways of getting away with that and keeping on making money because there are 8 billion people on the planet, and all they have to do is sell you their product once and then sell it to somebody else. And so they get away with that. But if you're in a community or if you're, you know, if you're trying to reach mass people and keep mass people and have a large group of devoted folks, and if you want to take over the world politically like this gentleman does, or if you just want as many people as possible to believe your message, the goal is to keep them. And a church that is only focused on bringing in people is like a leaky bucket. It's like a business with a bad product. We're bringing them in, and they go. Now, I go to Tacoma Bible Church because I grew up in Germany. I've lived here. I was in the military for a few years, and I can honestly say I love Tacoma Bible Church. It is probably the most solid church I've ever been a part of or been in. And but I've been here long enough to see people come and go. and come and go and come and go. We've often had a discussion, should we grow at a church? Should we make a bigger building? And then, well, we like being a small church. And there's that whole discussion like big, small, big, small. If we weren't a holy bucket, and we are a little bit, we're not perfect, so this is not a judgment on us, but if we weren't a holy bucket, that wouldn't even be a discussion. We don't have enough standing room, we must build. Right? That is the nature of not having a holy bucket. Not using holy in the biblical sense here. I like saying holy bucket. All right. So that's sort of the business analogy. And at work, it's kind of the same thing. If I make a good sandwich, if I make a good pizza, people will keep coming back. And I don't have to spend as much money advertising to bring in new people, just so that they can come a few times and then we make them mad and they move on and the cycle continues. So we have evangelists, we have missionaries, which kind of falls a little bit into the apostle, right? The apostle of Tacoma Bible Church, a missionary we send out. Those guys, they bring in people. And when you live a life, and we see plenty of verses in Scripture to this effect, if we live a life that reflects the values of God, and we live properly among our neighbors, when the time comes for them to be frustrated, to question their values, to question, is there a God, and they see the way you're living, they'll come in. Ministry is going to happen kind of automatically through a mature life. And God has specifically gifted some individuals to bring in people. But the body of believers, the church, the gathering of believers, its purpose, I believe, is the building up of itself. So that we become more Christ-like. So that when people look in, they see that there's a God in your midst. Let's take a quick peek at 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14. Verse 26. Now, in context, he's talking about spiritual gifts. Different than in Ephesians. But he's been talking about tongues and versus prophecy and that sort of thing. And then in verse 26 and chapter 14, what is the outcome then when you do things in a mature way? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. When we come together as a body, it is not to hear Michael learn how to teach up front and then hear Dan with a very thought-out message and then go home and go, that was interesting, and then the next day you forget. When we come together, that is only one of the benefits. When we come together, you come here, it is your job to edify the body. And not just here, during the week as well. You're supposed to edify the people around you. When you come, you're supposed to bring a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Bring food, if you grow food. Maybe you're a young guy. Sunday morning, you do some push-ups, get yourself ready, so that when you get to church, you can find someone who has a need, and you're like, I'm your man. I still got it. I'm young. I'm strong. Let me throw that wood in that garage for you. Maybe you're old and you have a bank account. Bring your checkbook. Dan doesn't talk about that, but it's legit. He doesn't talk about it because he doesn't want to be asking for money up here. But I'm telling you, if you got money, there's a box over there. Bring it. If you're really good at singing or you have joy in your heart, you know, make sure that you're humming or singing. Your job is not to take, but every once in a while. It's okay to take, too. If you have a need this morning and you came here with a need, that is fine. But I would say 9 times out of 10, you should not be coming with a need. You should be coming with a plan to bless the one another. And if everybody did that, man, we would not have a leaky bucket. Right? It would be overflowing, which is, and again, I'm not talking about size. I'm not saying we should become a mega church. But people are left behind every day in the American church and other churches too. I've spent a lot of time in Germany. Same problem. People are being left behind. People have spiritual needs that are not being met. People have physical needs that are not being met. People need prayed for. They need to be taught, discipled, encouraged, corrected. That's your job. Dan can't do all of that for everybody here. And so I think that the next time somebody asks me, what's the purpose of the church? This is what I think. I think the church is meant to mature one another and to build itself up in love to a mature body that belongs to Christ. Yeah. Thoughts on that? Yes, sir. I knew I could count on you.
When I moved here 5 years ago, the first thing I needed to do was to find a church, a body. So I visited several churches, and in my mind, having gone to mega churches, small churches, to me a church is one of two. Either if you want your neighbor to become a Christian, invite them to the church, and I will present the gospel and invite them, the secret church or whatever. Another style of church is you come and listen to me preach, and I will teach you to share the gospel with your neighbor. I feel this is the second more than the first. And so I come with an expectation of learning more of what Dan has to say in order for me to share, not for me to be a better Christian each week. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be more saved and more saved and more saved.
I'm glad. Yeah.
I want to be in the leaky bucket that takes what Dan is bringing in.
You're ruining my illustration. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you want to get some water and then take it out there and spread it around. Yeah.
Water the fields.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
There's a sense in which these things cannot be reduced to a simplistic one thing. Can't be. I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking to myself, preach it, preach it, preach it. We are complex people. Our social life, including the church life, it's complicated. It's not just one thing. And so we do have, I think, what you've been pointing to, some generalities that are big categories. And in each of those categories, there is a breakdown into individual facets or characteristics. And each one of those is worthy of an entire time here. How do we try to address all of that and create a well-rounded picture? We have picked people in this congregation who are evangelists. They want to share the Lord. Mm-hmm. And they want to do it in a way that will lead to salvation for other people. And I'm applauding. That's great. And other people, they're more into an intense, in-depth, word-by-word study of what the Scripture says. And in the end, we're all to be conformed to the body of Christ. That ultimately will not occur until He returns and does His magic with a wand or something where we are changed, we are completed. That's all part of the big picture. And you have to address all of that in the next 5 minutes.
Thank you. Yeah, well, that's not going to happen, obviously. I wanted to address the love thing, not to ignore you. Obviously, that was way too big for me to fully address. But there is something, as far as your question, Dave, or your comments, that sometimes we need a focus as a body and something, a flagpole, a standard that flies a little bit higher above the complexity of an organization, a country, and even a church body. The Apostle John, I remember reading that when he was old, he would show up at churches. He would do a little bit of traveling and show up to a new church. And he was a bit frail, and they would take him up there, and crowds gathered from the villages around to hear the Apostle John, the last apostle still alive, the apostle that Jesus loved, and hear what he had to say to them. And he'd get up there and he said, "Love one another," and then he'd leave. And he didn't say go out there and make disciples of the world. That was his job, and there are people in our midst, that's their job, like was pointed out. But the flagpole was love one another. And I've looked into love a little bit, and this isn't a teaching on that, but over and over again in Scripture and the way the word agape, which is usually the word translated into love, is used, it really seems like an active, sacrificial reaching out for somebody else's good. In most cases, that seems to be how the word is used. And so it's not fuzzy feelings. In fact, for a guy's meeting, agape is such an appropriate word because that means putting on your pants and doing something good for someone else. So, and the people in this body that meet here at Tequilma, those specifically are your people to go out and do for. But also the whole Christian community, and then those outside, because there has to be benefit to membership. So many clubs and organizations right now in the Western world are losing membership because they forgot that you have to have standards, that you have to require people to show up. The church has gone that way too. Like, oh, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. Okay, that's true. You will not lose your salvation because you don't show up on a Sunday. but you will also not grow. You're denying the growth to somebody else. You're being disobedient to God. Like, we need each other, and we need each other to be aggressively involved with one another. And I think that's our purpose, and I think that's the flagpole around which we need to gather. And that is not official from Dan. That's just me on this study, but I think he doesn't disagree entirely. All right, we need to pray and, yeah. Lord God, I come before you this evening knowing that even I've gone through times where I wanted to be more involved with the people here. I haven't invited people to my home in forever on a regular basis or reached out in a way that I think probably you would want me to do. You want us intimately involved with one another, aggressively involved with one another, encouraging one another, praying for one another, holding one another accountable. And I know you are actively doing that, and we're supposed to be actively doing that. I just want to, for myself, even ask for patience and forgiveness for not always being on that. And I ask for this whole body, Lord, that we would learn how to do that, not in just one particular way where two people's gifting shines because that's the thing that Tacoma Bible Church does and they're good at it, but in all the different ways. We're a body made up of so many parts and pieces that if we were to work together, you would be glorified. Lord, mature us as a body. In Jesus' name, amen.